Amen. I am very privileged and honored today to bring to our podium a man that we all highly revere, respect, and love, and who has literally poured his life into Alaska Yukon. Amen. And thank God. Thank God for a vision and a man willing to step forth and say, hey, we can get to that vision. We can accomplish it. So much of what we have today in our district is due to the leadership of Brother J.R. Blackshear. We love you, Brother Blackshear, with all of our hearts. Put your hands together. Welcome our bishop.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. And praise the Lord, everybody. Please be seated. I got one request. Brother, right there. And would you come help me? I want you standing right on this side right here. And you stand right over here. If you would lift that up and hold it where I can see. There. That'd be all right? How long do you think you can handle that? Okay. I'll give you, how about bring me one of those little wiki-nickies up there? Thank you very much. And a very dear friend of mine whom I love and admire very, very much was in a meeting one night, and the pulpit had been made by somebody about my size with the same type of measurements that I use, and he got tired of standing and looking like that, so he went and got two or three or four boxes of something and sat on top, and he could just see the whole crowd real good. Even at a general conference one time, Paul Lehman, 6'6" and a whole bunch else, and he and I were talking, and but a man named Colgrove from Michigan was there, the elder, and he was quite a bit shorter, and he was looking up at us. That should be about right. Thank you. Let's leave it there. I'll use that for a prop. Thank you. And so Brother Colgrove got tired of looking up. I think his neck got sore. So he went and got some publishing house books and some boxes and made himself a nice little pedal. And people walked by and he looked, he giggled, but it helped him a whole lot. But anyway, good to be with you. Praise God. Some are 6'4" and some ain't no more and some a little bit less and some a whole lot more. But anyway, here we are. Praise God. Good to be with you, and we are happy and thrilled at what God is doing among us. Wow. When you see what he is doing and when you rejoice in him the way we're rejoicing in him, it is absolutely wonderful to watch all this thing slide up and down. I mean, wonderful to be a part of the family and the kingdom of the Lord. He is so wonderful. Thank God for the privilege of being a part of his family. Wow. Think just for a minute where you came from, where you started out in. Now, I was blessed. My mom and dad had their own private doctor. He came out to our house and delivered me. You know, of course, he was a farmer. He was a sharecropper on a plantation in Arkansas. And that's the way they did it back in those days. And he paid for me with, I think it was either 2 or 3 bushels of corn. My wife says, that's why you're so corny sometimes. But anyway, but think of where we came from, folks. Sharecropper's cabin on a plantation outside of Truman, Arkansas. God brought me into this world, and Bradbury from up around Detroit Lakes or somewhere up there in Minnesota. Is that where it is? Detroit Lakes, or in that area up there? And all you folks in Churchill, I don't know where, the Atlantic Ocean, I think, but anyway, here he is. But we came from different places to where we are today. How blessed we are. Oh. To sit in the presence of God, among the people of God, the way we're sitting today, from where we came from and through the walks of life that we led, getting us to where the Lord got us into a corner to bring us to salvation. Oh, how blessed we are, folks. How blessed we are. Thank God for the privilege today of being filled with His Spirit and baptized in His name. Amen. I want to greet you all today in the name of the Lord, and I want to thank Brother Woodward for being with us. Brother Woodward, you have blessed us so richly. And Brother Lehman, thank you for being with us. Praise God. Appreciate these men very, very much. Their relationship to each other is so wonderful to observe. We thank God for that. And Brother Graham and Sister Graham, thank you for doing all that typing on his notes. You have done such a wonderful job. I appreciate that so much. And she's going to be speaking to the ladies, and I'm sure some of the men would like to sneak off from the business meeting and go down here, but that ain't allowed, so we got to stay here, fellas. But anyway, Sister Graham, thank you for being with us. You're a blessing to us all, and we just thank the Lord for all of you today, and praise God. Amen. It's just a delight to be a part of the family of God. Amen. The responsibility I have today is somewhat intimidating, following these two fellas, you know. You don't follow Scott Graham and Raymond Woodward very often, and when you do, if you got any sense, you have a knees knocking, you know. But I want you to know, brethren, I appreciate you very much in your ministry, and the responsibilities, excuse me, that I have has changed somewhat in the last few years, from a young guy to an older guy, and it went a whole lot faster than what I thought it would. Wow, really? You know, in just a few more days, I'll hit 75. I got 5 years over the bunch. You know, 3 score and 10. I already gained 5. Praise God. I did a calculation on my Social Security several years ago. If I made it to 77, I'll make money. 2 more years, and I'll have it on the government. Praise God. If you take it at that time versus long range, you know what I mean. But anyway, it's been a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful trip. And I have a responsibility now that I didn't have 25, 30, 40 years ago. And I'm trying to adjust to it and get used to it. And that's the responsibility of an elder. I used to think about them, and I woke up one day and somebody said, you is one. And now, so I'm trying to figure out what I'm supposed to do is one. But I've had the privilege of serving now in different capacities. And I have a lesson this morning I want to bring to you from the heart of an elder. As an elder, I want to bring it to you today. And let me just briefly give you a couple of qualifications. I know you don't think I'm that old. I love going into McDonald's or wherever I can get a discount, and I always ask for my discounts. I said, I know you don't believe me, but I got proof. I am over the 65 mark or whatever it may be. But and I know you don't believe I'm that old. But let me just give you a couple of little things. October of 1958, I got off of a ship in Whittier, Alaska. After 3 days of a storm from Seattle, it was a rough one. So I came into Alaska in 1958, October of 58. May of 1960, I preached my first message in Anchorage under Sister Rich, who was a wonderful pastor, a great mentor, and a tremendous ear twister. She could twist that ear, I mean, and no flat, nothing flat. And I had the privilege of preaching for her the first time, and she mentored me in my very early beginnings of ministry. Then I was shipped down to Kenai, Wildwood Station, and I lived at the prison a long time before it was a prison, even though then we thought it was a prison, but not like it is now. But anyway, so I had the privilege of seeing some of those things. I had the privilege of serving as district superintendent for 35 years about, from 1972 to 2007 here in Alaska. I've had the privilege, a tremendous privilege, of serving on the board of the Canadian Church since its inception. We started it because of some problems with the Canadian government on revenue leaving the country, and so we're back in about 82 or somewhere-ish way back there. They formed it as some separate things and didn't do anything different, just set up different paperwork system. Had the privilege of serving those brethren, and they have been so kind to me. I mean, a hillbilly, born on a sharecropper's cabin in Arkansas, let me serve with them on the Canadian Church Board. And Brother Woodward, I honor you, sir, for the way you're serving the Canadian Church. This fellow's a tremendous administrator as well as a preacher and teacher, doing a great job. Of course, Brother Wagner served that position for 8 years. And they've been so kind to me to let me serve, so I've been able to see those things, been able to watch the governmental operation of the church, and I thank God for it. I served as one term as executive presbyter, and in that two-year term. I wasn't pastor. I wasn't superintendent, so I had more time than most of them did. So I served. I did 17 district conferences in 2 years in 15 different districts. Two of them were back-to-back. So I've seen, I'm saying that not braggadociously, but I'm telling you as observations as an elder. I've had the privilege of doing some observing. Travels, I've been blessed. I've been to every province in Canada except PEI. I'm not going to cross the bridge yet, but someday I hope to go across the bridge before the Lord comes. If I don't get to, I'll see it from above, maybe. But all the states except Hawaii. I've had the privilege of teaching in all of our Bible schools on occasion, not long length, but sessions in all of our Bible colleges. I've had the privilege of being married for 18,646 days today. How about that now? And I give high honor to my sweet little blonde-haired, blue-eyed nurse that caught my attention way back in in Anchorage years ago. We've had a wonderful, wonderful life. And so I give you those qualifications, if you can call it that, as an elder. And I also want to give you some observations as an elder before I get into my lesson this morning. Observations. And I gave you the qualifications to let you know that I do understand a few things that I see. And I may not critique it openly, but you have to critique things you see in your own heart. And so as an elder, I look upon our district, and we've got a good district. We really have. And I thank God for our district. So grateful for it. So grateful for it. Amen. We've got outstanding ministers, men that are and women that are willing to cooperate and be submissive to each other. And I thank God for that. We've got an outstanding district board. Had the privilege of being on boards for many, 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 many. And again, I say it's not braggadociously, just so you'll understand from where I'm coming from today. We've got a phenomenal district board. We have some very open discussions. And the most important thing about that district board, when we leave the room, we leave as a board, as a group. We don't have any, well, I didn't like that. No, that doesn't happen with our district board. Now, it does happen on some district boards, to their chagrin and to their shame. Our district board doesn't do that. I appreciate our presbyters and our secretary and our district superintendent. They're doing a tremendous, tremendous job, and I appreciate that. I appreciate the fact that we've got an outstanding district superintendent. We have. I brag on them everywhere I go. Great superintendent. We've had the best district secretary for the last 26 years anybody could ever possibly ask for. I bragged on him all over the country. He served a year as executive presbyter, or term as executive presbyter also. So we've been, look, on the general board, we've got three members from our little bitty district. Yeah. Superintendent who's elected, and Brother Wagner and I, who are, he's honorary, I'm honorary. No, we're both honorary. Anyway, we're both serving as honorary. So we've got three people from our relatively small district serving on the general board. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, God has been good to us, folks. He's been so good to us. How blessed we are to be a part of the Alaska Yukon district. I thank God for that. Amen. And then the good saints. And I see you dear folks working in the kitchen, picking up trash, hauling. I watched this one, I don't know who he's hauled off at least 19 bags of trash in the last couple of days. I've watched him go out and raise that big old heavy thing and throw them. And then to see all you folks coming and doing all the work. And we got some folks from Florida come all the way to Alaska to live at our campground. And all those roofs down there on the cabins, we got one fella who's responsible for that. Thank you, Brother Kling. Clingly, clinger, clinger, cling something. Isn't that wonderful to have folks come and visit us and do all that work? It's amazing. So the beautiful saints of God that are here in Alaska Yukon District, and that's some of my observation. Now, I also want to say that in my observation as an elder, our world is in a mess. Flat out serious, serious trouble. And therefore, my responsibilities to you as an elder. Let me read to you the authorization, if I needed that for that, from 2 Peter chapter 1. But my observations and my responsibility and my authorization is this. Peter said, "Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things," the things that he had mentioned. Wherefore is a wherefore and because of the therefore. I think is what he said, something like that, brother, yesterday. But anyway, wherefore, I'm not going to be negligent to put you always in remembrance, though you know them. Now, this is the beauty of being an elder. You can say the same thing over and over and over with authorization to do it. And let me tell you something else. The message or the lesson that I feel on my heart today to bring to you, I've got a list of where I've taught it before. And it's amazing how God did that. I've never done it before in all my ministry of 52 years this past May. I've never done it like that before. And one night I was convicted in a district, and I've been preaching it and teaching it, rather, at district conferences all over the country. And I felt a conviction. JRB, you're just kind of goofing off, you know. And so I'd prayed and put notes together and ready to go. And just before I left the hotel room, the phone rang. Minister friend back in the Midwest said, "Brother Blackshear, we've got a problem." He said, "One of the men you've put so much time into and so much effort into, he's gone astray. He's left us." I said, "Lord, forgive me." So I threw the other notes away, went back and got that, and I think of all 15 conferences, or 15 districts I went to, I referred to or taught it. That's the responsibility of an elder. Remind, even though you know it, the authorization is to remind you where we are and what's going on and what God is requiring of us. So as I bring this lesson to you today, folks, it's with a heavy heart, yet a thrilled heart, with a burdened soul, but yet with a soul that rejoices day and night over the good things of God. But Peter said, "I'm bringing this to you. Even though you know it, I want to bring it to your remembrance. Yea, I think it meet, or it's a responsibility, as long as I am in this tabernacle or in this body, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly," and I'm hoping I can bypass this particular verse, "knowing that shortly I must put off this tabernacle, even as the Lord Jesus showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. For we," talk about himself and his fellow ministers of his peer age, "we have not followed cunning devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, saying, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.' And this voice which came from heaven, we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well, that you take heed, as into a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts." So what Peter is saying is, folks, I've been here a long time. I've been told by the Lord to tell you these things. You've already heard them. You know them well. But it's my responsibility before I die to remind you, so after I'm gone, you don't vary from what you've been trained and taught and shown over the years. As an elder, and again, I've got the qualifications for it, I think. I may not have the capabilities, but I do have the qualifications for it. As an elder, I want to remind you today of a few things that we need to keep on track with. Jesus, thank you for the Alaska Yukon District. Thank you for the many, 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 many blessings you've allowed us to be a part of, for the privilege of being saved, walking with you these many years. Thank you, Lord, for all these good things. Now I ask you to help me this morning as an elder to remind this wonderful group of people today of where we are and where we're trying to go and what brought us here and how we should conduct ourselves. Use me, and I'll give you thanks and I'll give you honor. In Jesus' name. Turning your attention now to Luke chapter 21 and verse 21. I'd like to read to you verses 7 through 19. And I don't apologize for the lengthy reading. I do ask you just to bear with me. If you want to stand, that's fine. If you want to sit, that's perfectly fine too. But Luke 21 and verse 7. Jesus was talking to his disciples, and they asked him several questions. They were concerned about different things taking place about all the stuff around Jerusalem that they had their minds fixed upon. And he asked them, saying, Master, when shall these things be, and what sign will there be when these things shall come to pass? Interesting. And Jesus said unto them, take heed, be careful, beware, that you be not deceived, for many people will come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and the time draweth near. Go ye not therefore after them. But you, when you have heard of wars and commotions, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass. But the end, Jesus said, is not yet, not by and by. Then said he unto them, nation going to rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. Great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines and pestilences and fearful sights. Great signs shall there be from heaven. But before all these things, they shall lay hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and to the prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. And it shall turn to you, though, although this happens, you'll have an opportunity to share. It'll turn to you, though, for a testimony, he said. And he said in verse 14 what to do to get ready for that day, for those situations. He says, settle it, therefore, in your hearts, not to meditate before what you shall answer, because you cannot think of all the things you'll have to do when circumstances come to you. Don't waste your time. Don't waste your time. Read the comics if you must, but don't waste your time trying to figure out what you're going to do or say when all those things come upon you. But Jesus said, I will give you an answer. I will give you mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. In other words, he'll give you the words to shut them up. And you shall be betrayed both by parents, brethren, kinsfolks, friends. Some of you shall they cause to be put to death. You shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but there shall not a hair of your head perish. In your patience possess ye your souls. Jesus was giving his disciples something that I want to share with us again today. I have shared it, parts of it, different places. I also take courage to know that I can never preach the same message twice. Always, I may start out the same way, but somewhere in there it deviates, because God has a word for all of us, every one of us. And so you may start on the same theme and the same theory and the same message and the same, you know, all that platform, but in there, if we're listening, God's going to say something wacko even to you. Congratulations on getting the Holy Ghost recently. Woo! Isn't that exciting? Praise God. God has a word for us. And I want to remind us again today of the responsibility of listening, heeding, and taking the word. Amen. I have settled it in my heart a long time ago. Now, my grandpa was an old cotton patch preacher. I mentioned the other night he was wild as a March hare without hairspray. A March wind without hairspray. He was something else. But, buddy, he could preach. And those old church houses out in those cotton patches, I mean to tell you, they would line them up inside, and all the men sucking their cigarettes line up in the trees outside. You know, they didn't want to go in, but they were hearing it. He was something else. He was something else. He gave us some roots to start with, and I thank God for the roots that he's given unto us. And it's not always been easy, not always been perfect, but I want you to know, friend, he helped me to settle it in my heart a long time ago. This is that, and there ain't nothing else. This is it. This is it. This is it. This is it. Praise God. This is it. Been a proven thing that a person that has a clear understanding of who they are, either he or she, and where they are going to attract followers. I cite you Adolf Hitler, a man named Joseph Stalin, Abraham Lincoln, one of our great presidents, the Apostle Paul. I bring to your remembrance today a lady named Rosa Parks. What a phenomenal person. Worked in a seamstress, I think, in a place there, wherever Atlanta, wherever she is from. And back in those days, there were some bad things that were taking place in America as far as racism. I'm ashamed of it. I bow my head. Wish that had never happened. It did. But when I think of people like Rosa, how she made up her mind, I'm not going to the back of the bus today. My understanding and what little history I know about her, she got off work that day and got on board, and the custom was, stupid as it may sound and ignorant as it was and as much as we're against it, the custom was, if you have a darker skin, you go to the back of the bus. Rosa said, Brother Wagner, that day, I ain't going to the back of the bus today. She got on, got into a fuss with the driver. He was trying to do his job, but she didn't go to the back of the bus, and I thank God for people with backbone and courage like that. I don't care what they say. I don't care what they do. I'm not going to the back of the bus today. She didn't go, and therefore there was launched a tremendous movement toward much more righteousness in situations like this than what we'd ever been exposed to in all those years. I thank God for people like that. She knew what she was going to do, and she started a revolution, if you would, in our country, and I thank God for that. I appreciate it very, very much. Telling you folks, a made-up mind, a settled heart. I know what I'm going to do. Whatever the situation may be, I ain't going to go that way. A made-up mind goes a long ways in changing circumstances. It goes a long ways in making things become upright. I've used this example years ago. We were on our way over to White Horse, flying with Bill Krumpacker. Bill Krumpacker had one thing in mind when he was flying an airplane. Got to get there. Bless his heart. And he got us there. We landed in Northway to get gas. And Northway is a unique. If you've never been to Northway, Alaska, you need to go. And go to that little restaurant down by the airport and order you a hamburger. They got a phenomenal hamburger. And Krumpacker was always, I gotta, you know. And so he said, let's just order us one and we'll take it with us and we'll eat it on the way. Well, sure, it's your airplane, you know. Well, yeah, why not? So we did. We went in and they wanted, so I ordered. Man, we need 3 cheeseburgers to go with fries and yeah and everything with the kitchen sink on it. We're going to take it with us. And she said, she looked at me and says, okay. And that precious female would put any grizzly bear to run. Just one growl is all she needed, and the bears are gone. That was the way she was. And maybe, I don't know now, she maybe still is, but she was then. Anyway, we ordered those 3 burgers to go, and in the washroom, I said, Brother Krumpacker, man, we're going to get grease all over everything. It's going to run down our shirt, down our elbows, and that good old juicy cheeseburger going to be everywhere. Why don't we just take 5 minutes and eat them here? And I talked him into it. So I went back into the place, the little woman back there, that spatula. Yeah, a whole lot worse. I can't look that good. And a little short door. I fill up the door, my height and my width. And I said, ma'am, there goes the grizzly. But she said, I said, we decided to take our hamburger, to eat them here. She threw this. Why don't you make up your mind? My wife wasn't with me. My mama wasn't there. My daddy wouldn't have cared. We have. We're going to eat them here. Oh, okay. Yeah, it'll be fine. Sure. 6'4" and 200, none of your business. I mean, it does have a little, in a short, you know, it does help. But a made up mind, knowing what you're going to, and I didn't know I was going to say that. But it's just the fact that that woman, and it just came out. You know what I mean? And if we can relate that over to a spiritual sense, because we're going to be facing people who have put a grizzly bear to flight with one growl. And so we had to make up our mind a long time ago. And I didn't even know my mind was made up on that, but it just flat came out. And that's what I think the Lord wants you and I as apostolics to do in the day we're in. To know my mind's made up. I don't know what I'm going to say, but it's made up. And in that hour, he's going to give me the word, praise God. And sometimes he doesn't even give it to us, so we just have it ourselves. You know what I mean? But hopefully he will give it to us at that time. And if it's his work, his will, and we're in his will, he will give us the word at that time. Don't fret. Don't worry. We were in Kodiak many years ago, back in the middle of the last century, literally. There were some folks that were knocking on doors and passing out their propaganda, and I've got to learn more of their doctrine. I've got more than another bunch down. They were doing this. I've got to learn more. And I got to get their books and study. And the Lord spoke to me, Sister Becky. He said, forget about studying that doctrine. Just study the book. You know what the book says? And if we are contrary to the book, just there it is. And I said, dummy. So I threw all their stuff away and got back to the book. If we'll just know what the book says. When time comes, we'll have the word. I promise you, we'll have the answer to that. So thank God for people like Rosa, and thank God for the privilege of being able to go to Northway with Crumpacker that day to learn a few things from that. Amen. But Jesus is mentoring his disciples here in Luke chapter 21, and he is mentoring them, knowing full well that in the very near future, he would have to leave them. And he knew the value of a made-up mind for those folks, and so he was trying to teach them that. Now, it's interesting. Jesus, he gave general scenarios. He didn't give specifics. And I've often wondered why, but then I come to the conclusion if they knew, it had blown their mind. And some of the situations we've been exposed to as ministers and as saints of God, had we have known before it happened, we'd have probably outrun Jonah on the way to Nineveh. Jonah, move over, buddy. Here I come. There's been valleys as a pastor that we've gone through. Had I have known, look out, Jonah. Give me some room, buddy. I'm passing you on the left. That's just the way it is. And everybody goes through that. And if we'll just keep on running, keep on trucking, keep on doing what's right according to that book. Not so much what Google says. Thank you for Googleizing us, brother. That's been great. And Brother Graham even had an experience with Google back years ago, and he cleaned it up the mess. Yeah. But thank God for what the book says. And if we know what that book says, when time comes, we will have the answer. We'll have the way to handle it. And all of us are going to go through it. If you've not been there, hang on. You'll have the experience someday. It's going to happen. But don't worry about it. Jesus taught us not one hair of our heads going to perish. That's not going to happen. They're not going to get it. But if we would have known, it would have blown our mind. It would probably have scared the socks off of us if we would have known some of the things that we'd have to face as we go through life. But that's the way it is. But thank God he has the answer for us. Amen. Now, we need to make up our minds by faith that we're going to believe his word. Walk in his word. Be faithful to his word. Because things will happen to us on occasion. It'll happen to us that we will not know what to do and we won't be able to get consultation. Thank God for the privilege of contacting our fellow ministers today. When we were in Kodiak many years ago, we didn't have that privilege. We had a 7-cent airmail stamp if we could afford it, and that was about it. We couldn't afford phone calls. after the big earthquake and tidal wave, we didn't even have a phone for a couple of years. Which, no, never mind. But you know, if we'll just have faith and confidence in His Word, we can't always call somebody and ask you, what do we do? Thank God we can. Those much easier today. I'm glad for that. But if I've got confidence in that Word, He promised me, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, He's going to be with me. He's going to keep me and protect me. I may have to look around and by faith realize where He is, but He's there because He said He would be there. And I've just got to have the confidence that He'll help me. He will not let anything overtake me. That I, if I will resist it, eventually, He said, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Resist him, he'll flee. Draw out of God, he'll draw out of you. Amen. So we have to have faith in His Word that it's going to be all right. Now, what the disciples were going to face, He was very, very specific. He said, you're going to face deceivers. Could you put Galatians chapter 1 for us on the board, please, on the thing up there, please? Galatians chapter 1. And Paul wrote some very, very specific things. There's going to be deceivers. I marvel, he said, that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Which is not another gospel, but there be some that trouble you. Folks, there ain't but one gospel. That's all there is to it. And some will trouble you, he said, and would pervert the gospel of Christ. That word pervert. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let that person be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man, woman, boy, girl, whatever, preach any other gospel unto you than what you have received, let that person be accursed. Now think about those words, if you would. That's some pretty powerful stuff. Much of Paul's writings, as well as different ones, deal with deceptiveness in the era of time they were in. Jesus knew it was coming. Paul was experiencing it. Peter experienced it. And they warned the early church. Folks, we've had a wonderful foundation laid for us. And I don't give a hoot who they are. Yeah, hoot. I don't give a hoot who they are. If it doesn't line up with what we've been taught by our elders, forget it. Forget it. I'm not talking about mechanisms. I'm not talking about technology. I'm talking about what He gave us as far as salvation experience is concerned. I'll never forget Kenneth French being excited, thrilled, pleased when I showed him my electronic stencil maker that I'd bought in 1972 or 3. He was excited about that. Well, you know what that is? You ever see one? You might have. Yeah. These pill pushers know what they're doing, you know. But pharmacy. Did you ever see an electronic stencil maker? Where you been all your life, girl? Elder French was thrilled when he saw that thing. But now, good grief, Andy. Not Andy Hall, but I mean Andy. Just forget about it. It's so much different now. So much different now. Sure, technology does change. And if we've got any sense, we'll utilize technology. And if we're ignorant as all get out, we'll let technology control us. If you can't control the click of your mouse, buddy, you got problems. That mouse doesn't get you in trouble. It's the dude that clicks it. That's where your problem comes. Don't click it if you don't know where it's going to lead you to. If you don't know, call somebody, ask, hey, what about this site? Yeah. Sure. But just go exploring, you're asking for trouble. And I hope that gal from Northway gets a hold of you. No, I'm not saying. But we've got to be careful because there are deceivers out there. He said there are going to be wars and rumors of wars. Jerusalem AD, as you know, was overrun. 70, 80 overrun by those folks. There's estimated 1,100,000 people that were killed, estimated, 97,000 or so that were enslaved. It was a horrific, horrific time. Jesus warned them of that. He said, but don't worry, don't fret, do your best, live for God, serve Him, stay true to the Word, live the gospel, and whatever happens, it's just a promotion. My good dear friend John Grant had a fellow one time, got upset with him because his wife got saved, and he called Grant trying to scare John Grant. Can you imagine how ignorant the man was? You don't scare John Grant, you know, I mean, it don't happen. But he called Grant and tried to put a threat to him, and Grant said, look, mister, he said, if you're trying to scare me, he said, if you kill me, I'll just go to heaven. He said, forget it. Let's talk black men. He settled the fellow down in a hurry. That's John Grant. That's the way he handles things. Praise God. But people will try that sometimes to scare you, to intimidate you. And we don't want to be arrogant. Never, ever, ever want to be arrogant. But I want you to know, buddy, if the Lord doesn't want you to pull that trigger, He'll turn that thing around and put it on you. You put it on yourself. Until the Lord gets through with me, you ain't got nothing to do with me, booger man. Forget about it. You can't do anything to it because the Lord's not through with me. That's right. Now, don't be ignorant. It says detour, slow down. It says 35, don't do it. 95, slow down, slow down, slow down. But on the other hand, the Lord's not through with us until He gets through with it. The devil can't take us, and they can't take us. Some of those guys that try to scare you. It's hilarious sometimes. But the Lord, we need to understand the Lord's going to keep us safe. Wars, rumors of wars. Great natural calamities, they went through it. Personal persecutions, oh yeah. Peter hung upside down, they say, on the cross. Paul was slain, oh yeah, we know that. John spent some time in Patmos. Can you imagine how he felt when they turned him loose, kicked him off the boat, whatever, how they got a kayak, however they got him out there. I don't know how they got him out there, but when they got him out there and turned him and kicked him off, can you imagine how he must have felt when they pulled away? John, buddy, you're here by yourself now. Because you're a believer. Well, good grief. What a revelation the Lord gave him. What a blessing the Lord God gave him. And if he hadn't been in Patmos, what would he have gotten? I don't know. But listen, folks. God knows how to take care of us. John had made up his mind. Wherever they put him on the transportation of whatever they used to get him out there, you ain't going to shake me, buddy. I know what I believe. I heard the voice. I was there when he spoke to us. I saw him raised it. I know what I believe. Ha! You think you're going to scare me? No way, Jose, baby. I know what I believe. I know what I believe. I know what I believe. And John had it before they ever took him out there. Now, I'm sure that if we'll have the made-up mind before we face the possible pressure, we'll be all right. But if we don't have a made-up mind before we get there, if you're trying to, John, what do I do now? What do I do? No. I can see John walking just, come on, guys. You know, I ain't afraid of this aisle. He was a positive, yeah. And that's what it is when you're a child of the King. Do you think our Heavenly Father's going to let some moron or some dodo or some idiot? That was not a nice word, but that is what I'm trying to describe. He's not going to let those type of people destroy us. No, I'm His child. You take some of these mamas and these daddies and little babies. I've watched them come down those hills. Roger Yaden Jr., are you here? Where are you, bro? I watched you out there, that little fella coming down a hill like Indianapolis 500. On that little triangle. He was kicking it in gear. And he got way out there and fell over, and here come the pastor of Eagle River running down the hill to get his little boy up. You know? That's just the way daddies do. And mamas do that. And I also saw a mama, a little kid out there in the mud puddle next to the entrance. You know, the mama, he must have had a mosquito back there or something. Because it must have been a mosquito she was getting after. But he got out of the puddle, didn't puddle anymore. Those mosquitoes do a good job, you know what I mean. But you think our Heavenly Father is going to let these dodos hurt us and put us down? No way. No way. And those that have been persecuted, those that have been slain, those that have been killed, come on up here, boy. I got something better for you. Sure. And they take them up there. So make up our mind now. Have our minds made up before we get to the situations that we have to face. Amen. They were there. And the church, early church in the book of Acts, faced all of the above. And if they did, we probably may expect doing the same thing. We're facing it all around the world. They're facing it today. The church is facing situations such as that. Deceivers, good grief, I've never seen anything like it. Deceivers. Folks, we're in a pathetic era of time. People are being deceived like never before, as far as my experience. Now, maybe some eras and some areas some way, but I've never seen it like this before. Never have I seen it. We had a man teaching from this platform right here. Had a wonderful reputation among the apostolic ranks. Tremendous Bible teacher. I've seen him in the spirit do things that were just phenomenal when I was back in Wisconsin years ago. He was teaching from our platform here one time. And then something happened. Don't know exactly what. I've got my ideas, but they're probably not altogether accurate, so I won't even share them. But he got turned away from this message of salvation. A man who had so much influence among our young people in particular got turned away. And he and a friend of his put in an ad in a big major metropolitan newspaper apologizing for preaching and teaching what he preached and taught for years. You're talking about deception. And if you could see him today and get him out behind the exit sign at midnight, not in Alaska, but where it's dark at midnight, and have him confess to you what's in his heart, I'll guarantee you he'll say he made a mistake. But it's hard to get them into that type of a situation. We've had people leave this message of truth, and I've talked to them, and they, you can read it in their eyes. You can hear it in the quiver of their voice. You know what they're saying. But they're not saying those words, but you can read what they're saying. I wish I'd have never done it. I wish I'd have never done it. I wish I'd have never done it. I got a letter from one of our superintendents, one of the men who was moving into a higher realm, you know, went out of the organization. An organization doesn't save you, never has, never will, but I want you to know it's a very good insurance policy. It's a good protector, praise God. And this man left. I was shocked because I knew his bread and butter was here. Yeah, quite a writer. He left and went away and went astray, but something happened at midnight. Somebody talked to him out underneath the exit sign having a good hot cup of coffee, and he realized he'd made a mistake, and so he moved back to another part of the country. And I got a letter from one of the superintendents that we have accepted him back into our ranks. I wrote him a note, email. I don't know him that well. I know him, but not real close. And I thanked him for coming back. I said, welcome home. He wrote me back a little note. He said, Brother Blackshear, thank you for the note. It meant a lot to me. If I could talk to them, I'm convinced, if you could talk to them, I'm convinced that if they would be honest, those that have left wish they would come back. I don't qualify that. I'm convinced of that. The ones I've talked to, that's the way it's happened. But deceivers are in this world. People are being deceived. Being deceived. I want you to know, it's good enough of my mother, good enough of my daddy, good enough of my grandpa, good enough of my children, good enough of my grandchildren. My mind's made up. I've made up my mind. This is okay, buddy. This is all right. And I'll fuss with you or argue with you if you want to, or we can just go have coffee. I was with a man one time doing a conference down in somewhere between here and the South Pole. I forget exactly where it was now, but in somewhere in between. And we were talking at a restaurant one night, and he was negging and bagging and whacking. I said, now look, we need to sit here in this little booth and be friends and enjoy the fellowship, or we can go at it. Which do you prefer? I'm ready for either one. Let's just have fun. Let's just have some good. Well, and so we didn't fuss about it. But I was ready. Now, I'm not going to pick a fight, but I ain't going to run from one either. Not going to. It's not right to them if I run from a fight. God may put me in their path as an obstacle. And so I'd be failing God as well as failing them. So if you're going to fight, you swing the first time. You may, all I got to do is turn one more, and then we can go at it. Yeah, you get the first one, you turn the second one, but then after that, buddy, it's open Open line. Here we go. But God, help us to be mindful of those that are in need and do our very best to help them, because I know a lot of them made some bad mistakes, and I know they know that, but for them to be able to correct it, it takes compassion on our part, understanding on our part, not compromising on our part. That won't help anybody, but God, help us. So the things that they went through was very, very, very bad. We need to settle our minds, our walk with God. Let me turn to James chapter 1 right quick, and I'm going to try to watch the next couple hours. I'll be through here, I think. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask Google. No. Ask, may I call a name and you won't repeat it? Thomas Fudge. This is enclosed, right? He asked me to respond. He asked other people to respond. I had heard something somewhere in my little tinkling system, and so I called a couple of my, I don't remember if it was Brother Urshan or Brother Haney or who, but somebody I called, and they weren't altogether excited about what this good man was, or this man was trying to do. I didn't respond. Guess what? I made his book. Along with a list of men I renown greatly. Jim Merrick, Jack Yance, Gerald Grant, many others that didn't respond to his sarcastic ridicule, hidden very nicely under a pillow of safety or softness. But yet some have responded to that. The very title of the book ought to scare anybody into their senses. Christianity without the cross. There ain't no such. Read what Jesus said. Take up your cross and follow me. How in the world could you put a title like that on a book and not raise eyebrows if you look at it? Christianity without a cross. Good grief, Andy. No, not Andy Hall. Good grief. I got to get a new name. Made one up the other day, but I forgot what it was now. It's a good one, but I forget. But anyway, be careful what you read. Little eyes, be careful what you see. Little ears, be careful what you hear. That's more than just a kiddie song in kindergarten. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, yeah. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. You better, I forget the rest of it. But we need to be cautious. That's what your pastor's for. Call your pastor. And pastor, if you don't know, call your superintendent. What's your number, Brother Parrish? We need to make sure you got that number. 466-6649, something like that. Yeah. If you don't know, call the man. He knows. call the man. He knows. We're in a very interesting discussion one day in a board meeting, and our very gentle superintendent looked over at me and said, "What are you grinning about?" I said, "Ain't no pressure on this chair." You're doing a great job. But pastors, be careful what you recommend. Be careful. Some of that stuff is so slick and sly. That's why Paul spent all that time in Galatians. That's why James spent so much time. That's why they wrote all of that, because Jesus said, be careful of deceivers. They're out there. They're everywhere. And if they don't pass the scrutiny of your district board, you better be careful of them. If they don't pass the scrutiny of your district board, you better be careful. If they don't pass the scrutiny of your district board, you better be careful. These men are not arrogant. Yeah. No. They're there for our protection. They're there to help us. They're there to screen and make sure that the dude coming into our midst ain't no deceiver. God help us to be careful and make sure that those that are being licensed are not deceivers. And I thank God for the history and for the record of your district board over the years. I thank God for it. And may the Lord help us, because there are out there. We've seen them. We're going to see more of them. And we need to understand that. God, help us to understand there will be natural calamities. Every time we have a shake that lasts over 5 seconds, buddy, I begin to look for the exit sign. I went through the big earthquake in Kodiak back years ago. They say, don't run. I say, get out of my way. I know if you're downtown, 100-story building, I know, yeah, you're probably a better place. But we don't have it around here. And if we feel one today, don't you get in front of me and bring me that exit. I'm getting out of here. I went through that, dude. Almost 5 minutes of the earth waking up and shaking up and the tidal wave and the building going back. I went through it. We didn't change or didn't take our clothes off for days. Just as we would get ready to settle down and rest, another rumble would come and aftershocks. Oh, listen, I know what those natural calamities are like, but the most precious event happened to us. Our little daughter Alice was about 8 months old or so at the time, and we finally got out the door. You won't find any door or any mops or brooms next to our door in my house. We had a little exit there in Kodiak, and we had a little freezer, and we put the mop or the broom or something there, and that thing shook it open and shook it down in front of the door, and we couldn't get the door open. People were pushing me and trying to get out, and we're trying to get the door open. My wife has absolutely no something clause. She won't let you put any brooms close to the door. But we finally got out the door and got outside on standing on that. On that road out there in front of that little 123 Mission Road and the Harbor Lights Pentecostal Chapel, standing out there holding my little baby, and didn't know if she's going to open up and swallow us up or not. But I want you to know, folks, in prayer, we felt the most awesome presence of God. I've never felt it before nor since. And I don't know, I don't want to have that situation to feel it that way again. But that was a tremendous situation to feel the awesome power of God. We knew, even though we couldn't get off the island, we knew that things were going to work in time. And it did work out for us in time. So even in natural calamities, we went from Kodiak to Fairbanks and had the privilege of getting there just before the flood. Yeah. My wife was 8.5 months expecting my little boy. On the front steps of that 907 23rd, and she said, we got to get out. Well, we'll be all right. What are you going to do if it gets out? What would it go on top of? She said, how am I going to get on top of the roof of this? You know, didn't think about that. I just had in my mind, you know, I was only about 30 years old. I figured I could climb through the roof, man. We go on top of this thing, we'll be all right. Get a good view up here, you know. We finally got a guy stopped with a military truck, and she told Sue, you stop the next truck that comes along. They were running a deuce and a half. We got on that. Oh, what a mess. But I went up to the guy. Yeah, you get bold. Went up to the front of the driver. I said, this is the next step. And I said, my wife is 8.5 months expectant. My children, I said, she's got to ride up here with you. He said, mister, we can't. This is a military truck. I got up on his stand. I looked at him. I said, buddy, she's riding up front with you. Make up your mind, you know. And so, okay. And she did. Got right in front of that military. But sometimes you just have to be positive. And again, 6'4", 200, and yeah. It does help some. But on the other hand, on the back, my little daughter Allison and Barbie, it was a mess. She had Barbie in her lap, but Allison, it was mud all over, and it was a yucky, gooey mess. But you know what? God kept us through that. We have had natural calamities. Some folks see our lives, you know. It's cute. Some folks see that, you know, I told Brother Grandma, we apologize for that old beat-up car you're having to drive, that old Lexus that they pedal off on you. I told Sister Phoebe that last night. She said, well, we'll get a new one next time. I said, but you see Abbott's house. You know, they've always had that. Well, I also remember when years ago down that little closed-up shop down on the highway now where Sarah was working and taking care of tables and working at that little Donna's gift shop there. Rick Abbott hadn't always been the successful manager that he is now. Sister Phoebe had always been the excellent manager she is now, always good. But God's blessed them. They didn't start out that way. But a lot of young folks see that and they think, wow. If you could just see the background and the trail that led up to it. Yeah, looking at those beautiful cranes out across that river now that they're enjoying that cabin. Oh, yeah. It's not always been that way. Folks, just hang in there. Hold tight. Love him. Serve him. Walk with him. In calamities as they come, they also will go. Amen. Now, I'm going to close it down. I want you to make up your mind. Make up your mind. Make up your mind. And if your mind is not made up, the winds of strange doctrine will blow strongly. From James chapter 1, we find that. Just believe. Just believe is out there so much. People are just... thank you, Brother Woodward and Brother Graham, for making this so open and so specific to us. These men have done some phenomenal. If you did not get the lessons of the services, you be sure to get you a DVD, because those are outstanding messages that we need to hear in the hour we're in today. Praise God. There are strange winds blowing out there. When a people can have a, I'm going to be open with you, okay? When they have a guy that doesn't know if he's gay or a male or female, dedicate your baby, something's wrong.
Well, how do I know the difference? I don't know if I'm male or female.
Check the plumbing. Interior, you're a female. Exterior, you're a male. Can you understand that?
I can.
Check the plumbing. And for these dudes to be ordained that don't know if they've got interior or exterior plumbing, come on. Come on now. For these folks to be used in the ministry, come on. This is a bad era. A bad era. For those men to smooch a man, good grief. I Googled on that one. Sure enough do. I was standing in the bank here not too long ago in Anchorage, and two women ahead of me and another lady between us, and they said, and one reached over and went, smooched her. I said, yuck. Back to Northway. Yuck. The woman between, she says, yes, I agree. And I'd backed up. I didn't want to even breathe the same breath, the same air that they were breathing. Good grief. Can you imagine that? But anyway, it's out there, folks. And you know what? There are some folks out there that are embracing that nonsense. 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 That were one time apostolic. And that's even more disgusting. That's even more pathetic. To have known this truth, have been baptized in Jesus' name, have been filled with the Holy Ghost, had all the glories of God flowing through your life, and embrace that mess. There's been a cog slip, friend, somewhere up in there. It ain't working right. That ain't nearly right. That is right. Tell them I said it, and I'll face them face to face anytime, anywhere, anytime. It's ignorance. It's abomination in the eyes of God. That's what the book says. The book says it's an abomination. God help us. These clergy that are molesting these kids, I've got an answer for them. I'm not going to tell you what it is, but I guarantee you I've got an answer for it. Yeah. Yes, 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 yes. We had a fellow one time that did that among us. I got a call from a pastor, confessed. I got on the next plane. I could get on commercially. I didn't have my own, didn't fly my own plane. It didn't work. But anyway, flew out there to see them. He admitted it to me in the pastor's home. I said, okay, here's what we're going to do. I said, talk to his wife. I said, you go home. He's going to stay here and sleep on the floor tonight in the pastor's house. I said, you got two options. You can turn yourself in or I'm going to turn you in, one or the other. It's up to you, your choice. Crowell, you want to. You have molested a child. You lied to us. You lied to God, first of all. You lied to your district board. You were absolutely pathetically wrong in doing what you did. I want to go home. You're not going home. You're going to stay right here or sleep on this floor tonight, and you and I are going to jail tomorrow. And I took him to the jail the next day, took him back to Anchorage, and I flew him to where his home was and turned him in to the police. Happened to be a weekend some kind of a holiday weekend. The cop was so impressed, and he didn't have very many people on staff. He said, can you keep him for two or three more days because we don't have any? So I had to call one of our pastors to see if he'd do it. But I'm telling you, folks, this happens, even to apostolics. And the districts involved need to take appropriate action and remove them right away. Now, I was hated, and I understand it. I gave them that prerogative. The family hated me for years. I understand. That's their privilege. I didn't hold it against them for hating me. But you know what? Some years later, they wrote me the nicest little thank you note because God had intervened in that man's life, and he was resurrected or restored, I should say. And I thank God for that. But folks, I'm here to tell you today, we are not immune from circumstances such as that. But thank God for a district superintendent and a district board that will take action and protect you and your children and the church of the living God from things such as that. And they've got to do, that's their job. They'll stand before the chief priest one day, stand before the king and give an account for their management. Amen. So in our we've got to make sure we're giving an account. We got to settle our hearts, settle on a new birth. Thank you again for the messages on that. The one God, thank you. Separation. Did you hear that lesson yesterday on separation? Good grief. Hallelujah. That was phenomenal. Separation from the world. What a thrill. What a pleasant thing. And holiness unto God. Oh, loyalty to the church. Loyalty to God. Loyalty to each other. Oh, listen, folks. We need to be loyal to each other. Loyal to the Lord. Loyal to the church. So many things I could refer to. I'm going to not take time, but we're getting ready to close down now. We've got a little song I want to play for in just a moment. One of our elders. And you'll smile from ear to ear when you hear him. If you knew him, you'll probably start grinning from all the way around your ear to ear. That was him. And he was so loyal and so faithful and so giving. I don't know what's happening as far as where his spirit's going. I don't know theology. I don't know if it's there and yet or not. But if it is, and if he's observing, he's excited about what he's seeing on this campground. There's a man some years ago who served many, many years in this district. That was very loyal to this message. He loved it. He preached it. And he sang a song that came to my mind here. And I was thinking about this lesson the other day. He sang a song, and I wanted to hear it. I want you to hear it. And they're going to play it for us in just a moment. Then they're going to flash a couple of photographs. And I want you, if you want to stand and start singing, that's fine too. But here we go. Ready? 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 Whoop! Come on now. Listen. On a street corner preaching in Texas. My mind made up. I've got it made up. If he shows me an easy way, right in the eye. And my mind made up. Recognize it? Yeah. He'll try it. Ah, look at that. Woo! Yeah. Mind made up. Mind made up. Show me an easy way. Hand in the air. Right in the eye. My mind's made. Now listen to this other verse here. Whoa, come on now. Job was a man. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. He tried it. Yeah. You had enough. Got my mind. Yeah. Foot on the rock. My mind made. Come on, hey, where's the Bagwell bunch? Come on. Carnley bunch, come on. Where are you? Any Carnleys here? Come on, Sister Carnley. Come on. All you Bagwells and Carnleys, come on. Straight in the eye. My mind made up. Come on, Sister Carnley. Come on. Come on. Come on. Oh. Sister Carnley, our mind's made up. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Our mind's made up. Our mind's made up. Boy, if that don't turn your crank, your crank's broken. If that don't get your exciter going, you ain't got no exciter button. This man here, this woman here, many of the folks in Merge Church, they went through a trial back years ago in Whitehorse. They become Dipsy Dumpster divers. Before it ever became popular among the bums today, they dove in the dumpsters. Because they gave all their money to the church to get it out of debt. There's a dumpster diver expert. They went to the dumpsters to pull out food because they gave all their money to the church. Kareen Ricks and George Ricks and all that bunch, I want you to know we love you with my brother Bert. I've talked about you all over the country, bragged about you. Those folks know how to give. Their minds were made up. Foot was on the rock. And as the devil would turn to them, they'd plant their feet and look him right in the eyes and say, my foot's on the rock and my mind's made up. And I'm going to ask you, District of Alaska Yukon, I want you to come today. Let's make up our minds right now. Let's determine in our hearts that we're not going to let these things turn us aside. Oh, Brother Parrish, would you come? Come on, folks. We need to make up our minds, commit ourselves. I'm not going to turn back. I'm not going to turn loose. Straight ahead, praise God.
Would you come and stand in with us for just a moment today? I feel like maybe our younger people can't.